1, 2, 3. That was a powerful slate.
That was.
I love that.
It was a crisp. You know when you get like a crisp slap of your hands,
mm-hmm.
and it just, you feel like masculine and feminine at the same time.
Yeah. And just like in control.
Mm-hmm.
I really loved that. Great yeah. job.
Thank you. A how few... are you on this? Oh.
Oh, go. Oh. Go.
I was
going
to say, how are you on this gloomy morning?
I'm great.
Yeah, you're chipper.
I'm fucking...
Your hair, you are like fresh.
On my fucking game in the month of May.
You are.
Yeah.
June is busting out all over, but move aside, June. It's May.
I'm not shot down in May.
No, you are flying
high. I'm fucking
high.
Shot up with energy.
I feel... I mean, I took a shower, but I feel a mess right now, and you're like putting me to shame.
Honey, I'm like going to bed early-ish, waking up at like 6 a.m.
Damn, I went to bed at 1.
Well, yesterday I way overdid it on the caffeine. I had 2 quads, 2 Diet Cokes, and I was buzzing by the time I got into bed.
I always forget your medieval or your Renaissance cuffs.
I know. They're cute, right?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'm riding high on about 5 hours of sleep.
Right now?
Yeah, but it's okay. Same. As long as I get like a good 7 or 8 tonight, then I'll be fine.
Yes. But you were, I think you were taking May by the horns and you're riding it into the horizon.
It's about creating like a fucking rock hard schedule of mm-hmm. shit to be doing or working on.
No, I'm proud of you. I think you're doing a lot of cool shit.
Thanks, babe. It's also Mercury retrograde, but I'm not letting that shit get me down.
And we had like a blood eclipse.
Yeah. And
things
are according
weird.
To my astrologer that
oh, God.
I follow, you're not like supposed to look at that eclipse.
I didn't look.
You're not supposed to like be out and like enjoying life under the blood moon. You're supposed to be like
under the blood moon.
I'm under the fucking blood moon. No, you're supposed to like not let it touch you.
I mean, there's a reason why like for thousands of years people feared eclipse, feared blood moons and like foretold things. There's a reason. Eclipses are ancient and they're not right.
Some can be good.
Yeah.
Well, they always like shift things around, but Chani, aka go download the Chani app right now.
She featured me on her Instagram once.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Expensive astrology app, worth it. She was like, I'm not dancing under the moon, so I just do what she says. I didn't even finish the whole video. I was just like, noted, done. I won't do it.
Yeah, I didn't see it, so I
saw some people out at Griffith, like, loving it. I was just like, honey, prepare for the worst.
Whenever that happens, it's like, oh, suddenly everyone in LA is a Wiccan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
They're enjoying, and I get it. Like, I've woken up early or, like, gone out to look at a blood moon before, but I can't say anything good happened after that.
I went to the Arclight Roof when the big eclipse a few years ago out during the day happened.
Oh, yeah.
That was fun.
I was still in a pretty bad depression, so I kind of just opened my bedroom door and like I peered, but I was not feeling safe enough to venture.
That's okay.
Real Housewives of Dubai, I'm all fucking in.
Oh, did you watch?
No, I mean, I've just seen the trailer.
Oh, I didn't see the trailer.
Really?
No.
It I need to go to Dubai like yesterday.
And this is with Caroline Stansbury, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. And just a bunch of like extremely rich, like fabulous international divas.
Amazing.
And it's just like Dubai, I think, is that's it. Like, we've come into, I think America's over. America's in a flop era. Like, mm-hmm. America is the past and Dubai is the future.
Dubai, chock full of myriad of human rights violations.
Well, I mean,
but it is like, it's like, when I see pictures of it, or like if it's in a movie or something, I'm just like, this is a simulation.
No, it's insane.
But it's also like, I don't want to go there because I don't want to get
what, gay bash
jailed.
I think that you.
No,
be
I'm
fine.
I'm making a joke.
I'm doing a script polish right now on a movie that takes place in the United Arab Emirates.
Hear that, Hollywood?
Hollywood called, and like Che Diaz, my fucking they them royalty. I answered the phone. I was going to say my queen, but I guess it's off the limits. So I answered the call. Now I'm polishing. And the script takes place in the Emirates. And I'm like, get me.
Get me
there. I'm like, can we go a step further and you just fly me out to set when this movie's greenlit and I will literally write jokes on set.
I mean, I think actually that's possible because usually on when I've written on shows that have filmed on a set, like I was there during my episode filming.
Yeah, but I'm not the, like, I didn't write the script. Do you know what I mean?
Well, you can always finagle away in Hollywood.
Where I'm secreting, like...
Well, they're not going to film it in Dubai. They'll film it in,
no,
like...
No, they are.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's being, like, financed by, like... It's, like, being fully financed by, like, Emirates people. Oh. It's, like, a full-blown...
The Sheik.
Middle Eastern production.
Wow.
Yeah, it's Sheik.
You're going full Samantha Jones.
I'm going
Jones.
Fucking global in 2022.
You are literally Samantha Jones in Sex and the City 2 being like, ladies, we're all going to Abu Dhabi.
I have Lawrence of my labia.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm fully like, I want to be in a sandstorm.
Okay.
Real Housewives of Dubai, they invoke sandstorm visuals. Sandstorms are also the future. I'm telling you right now. That
well, they are the. We're probably gonna have sandstorms in LA at some point.
Like, we all need to, I think, be planning a move to the Middle East. Lindsay was ahead of the fucking curve.
Why isn't she on the show?
She's too. Apparently, has some new reality show that's coming. Out.
She's narrating a British. She's narrating a show where British people go back to high school, which I'm like.
She's just narrating it.
Yeah.
Okay, pass.
Yeah, pass.
I don't have time for that.
No, I don't either. I hope the Gurge is reflected in this. You know, that giant building. The tallest building in the world.
Probably will be.
I want them all to be holding mini towers.
It's like establishing shot. I don't even know if they're going to hold anything. Their energy is truly just like we're each wearing a $50,000 dress. And there's no need to hold.
Where do they like go out?
I don't know. We're about to see.
All right.
Like, this is what I was talking about last episode, where it's like, I need, like, global, international level wealth on...
You want, like, the House Atreides in Dune.
Yeah.
Okay.
I accept nothing less than that.
All right. Like,
I'm halfway through the season of Bling Empire, and it is giving me...
I need to watch.
...everything I need. That show and Netflix... They're shanking in many ways, but they're delivering the fucking goods when it comes to like
reality
rich people
TV.
On reality TV shows.
Yeah, Netflix really is really did not have a good day this week.
No.
They did a very bad thing. So
yeah.
Shanking it.
They are really shanking. Yeah. Prayers up.
Prayers up.
But like also hire me.
I mean
as an exec, please, God, no. But you know, talent.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically just like...
I mean, I just wrote a Netflix show, so I'm...
No, you're in.
But I'm saying like I'm like they shanked.
No, we're shaken.
Yeah.
We're shaken and unsoothed, but honey, if you want to write me a check or schedule the direct deposit...
Hire a queer femme.
Babe, just do it.
Yeah.
You won't regret it.
Mm-mm.
You already know what I'm doing.
Mm-mm.
But yeah, so...
Okay, I watched the trailers.
Obscene wealth. They're playing the trailer. They were playing the trailer all through the Housewives of Beverly Hills. Like,
you want wealth that's like.
I want ungodly, otherworldly, obscene, otherworldly.
Galactic wealth.
Yeah, like intergalactic.
Cosmic
wealth.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I get it.
Like, it's no longer.
Yeah, it's not about. I know what you're saying. It's not about, like, the agency. It's about that level of wealth.
It's about like...
It's about...
You take a shit and the agency comes out and you flush it because you just don't... You're like, ugh, what? Gotta get rid of that. Not a big deal. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I want people... Like, what you shit is like what the agency is actually worth.
You want like interstellar wealth. Mm-hmm. Like wealth that can like bend time and space.
Yeah. Like okay. You're funding... time travel,
mm-hmm.
in your spare time,
right.
Kind of wealth. Yeah. Wealth that could and would and does corrupt. I want that level of wealth.
Like, it's where it's so capitalist that it's post-capitalist.
Yeah. And I think that's the era that we're kind of getting into. Well,
yeah, that's the era of empire decline.
But also, like, I mean, inflation and everything is so fucked up and, like, prices of everything are so fucked up
oh,
that
yeah.
at this point, like... I mean, we're so, I think, culturally desensitized to wealth and money and like what everything is just so confusing that if someone is not like a multi-billionaire, like I don't even think of them as rich anymore. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, you have like Jeff Bezos and Elon and you're just like, they're going to be like trillionaires at some point, which is disgusting.
Insane.
And not right.
Like I'm extreme tax the rich vibes, but I'm also like, I guess if you're going to be that wealthy, show me everything. Like, I want to see it. Well, entertain me with that fucking wealth. But what also, can you do for me?
But also pay your taxes.
But also fucking pay your goddamn tax. Just like give every school in the U.S. like $1 million.
That'd be great.
That's not that hard to do.
Yeah,
public school.
Yes, public schools, private schools, yeah, you're on your own, baby.
You're fine.
I just read that like Washington State is preparing for nearly $10 a gallon. Like they're preparing like tanks to be like,
horses and buggies are going to make a comeback.
Listen, I went to school in Amish country. I went to college and like, I would sometimes be stuck behind a buggy and it looked kind of nice.
I think honestly,
let's do it.
What if I just turned my parking spot in front of my building into a mini stable and I just got a horse and rode that horse everywhere? I don't travel far. But my radius is small.
You would spend a year's worth of like in a day on like upkeep for the carriage. A year's worth of car payments.
I'm not at a carriage, but I'm just horseback riding.
I mean,
I just want to go full cowboy.
I'm already a walker. Like I love to stroll. I love a long New York City in LA walk, but like I'm gonna be on foot more, I think, because my radius is small too, but like, and I have a hybrid car, so like I can get my bang for my fucking buck.
Yeah.
With my tank. Like I can go 2 weeks. If I'm working from home extensively for like when I worked from home the last job I didn't do anything. Like, I came here.
Oh, yeah. No, I put my car, the mileage stays low, and yeah. I fill up the gas, like, every 2.5 or 3 weeks.
And that's a privilege, and, like, I'm grateful for that. But, like, I'm, like, people, we need to be on foot.
No, I think horse. Because your horse will give you so much more. I think we need to cut our radius down and just be more, like, local vibes.
You want
to
be, like, the Kevin Costner's The Postman, where he's like in a post-apocalyptic America and he's like riding horses everywhere.
Oh, I haven't seen that, but yes. And I think that the horse upkeep, yes, it's expensive. Hay isn't free, and nor are oats or veterinary bills or
shit.
Shoes or saddles
or shit cleaning.
Yeah, but I would argue that a horse will give you more than a car ever could, because then you also just have a companion and a pet that also gets you from point A to B.
He won't be proud. He won't be happy.
I would strap him. I'd get a little tiny saddle for him to sit behind me or maybe in front, because I want to have eyes on him.
I mean,
he will have to learn to control himself because horses do trigger Tony.
You're going to like put your hair in a braid and then link up to like on Avatar, like link up to the horse's tail where you'll be connected.
That'd be cool, but I could also just ride it.
It's fucking the housing market, everything's supposed to crash soon?
Hopefully, because you know what? I've been just looking on Redfin, like as a passion project to see, get a sense of the market.
You and Simon need to just together spend an afternoon just on Redfin together, because that's his obsession too.
Oh my god, I
love it. You
guys
should just like Redfin together.
I mean, every single thing in Los Angeles and the greater, like in Los Angeles County, is out of my budget. Like my budget starts in like a town in Arizona that no one's ever heard of. But like, I like to look and see what like potentially could be in my budget in 5 to 10 years, and as soon as these houses go up, houses are selling in like 4 days. Nothing is available for long.
You got to look in like Altadena or like Alhambra.
Even there is so crazy expensive.
In the Inland Empire?
Yes. Carrie, yeah. I'm telling you, Simon and I will have to go offline and chat about it. But yeah, like everything, I'm telling you, every single thing in LA County is like, you can't even get anything for a million anymore. Like, there's a shack for sale a few blocks away that's like one of the most disgusting homes I've ever seen. It's like, I know I've walked by it enough times to get a sense of who's living there. And it's yeah. like two bros living there now. I'm pretty sure the owner just rents it out. And these two, and the photos in the listing, it's like very clear that like two single,
stinky
straight men are just fucking farting on the walls in this place and like playing beer pong or whatever and like blasting their little
Sonos.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And this house is like $1.2 million for something you would have to like fully remodel the entire thing, and it's tiny.
I saw something on Twitter last night. Katie Delaney, who's a funny writer, she always posts like Zillow horror stories on Twitter.
Yeah.
And she posted one last night where I think it was like on the east side or something. It literally looks like the house at the end of the Blair Witch with like the handprints on the wall, and it's 1.5.
Oh yeah.
Like, it literally looks like a long abandoned murder home, and it's nearly $2 million. It's disgusting. LA is literally the end of the fucking line.
It is the end of the line. God is. Damn it, I'm gonna try.
We're ground zero for everything.
It is, and it's also like the vibe is such, after a while, California is a fascinating state in general and like vibe and mentality, because the history of it is such like a, it's alluring and like a state of promise and like prosperity. And if you just can like get out there and like
gold
get
rush,
yours,
yeah.
yeah, like gold rush, that like mythology remains very much. And then in reality, you're like, that is pretty much not true for most people. It's a lie. But then you get Stockholm syndrome.
Yeah.
And then you're just like, I will fucking do it. And you have to be like, there will be blood vibes. And you just have to like hold on to the reins with your fucking teeth and get dragged across a desert in hopes that it will just work out one day if you hold on long enough.
Well, I had Stockholm syndrome in New York, but a different kind of Stockholm syndrome. Mm-hmm. It's more like, you know, like,
Tonya, can you even deal with that? So aggressive, Tonya.
Toxic masculine.
That's a crate.
No. Into the crate you go, the crate of shame. Oh, no.
Don't even start.
New York's a different Stockholm, where it's like, I gotta stay here, you know. If I can make it here, I can make it anywhere, and I'll never leave New York. And then here it's like, oh, like, I want to leave. So I feel like LA is so suffocating, but you're also like, I can never leave. I can't leave LA.
It's just a true hold on and persevere. Kind of in both places.
Different.
But it's different because
New York's
LA
older.
Will break you emotionally, and New York will break you physically.
Yes. And New York is older, and LA still feels newer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, New York is like hundreds of years old, whereas LA is like still kind of a newer, in quotes, American city.
Yeah.
So it's like there's like a different vibe, but both spiritually a little bankrupt.
A little. Understatement of the year.
Anyway, Hollywood, the Hollywood sign should just say, inflation.
Mm-hmm.
Zillow.
They should just, yeah, Redfin. I'm sure the Hollywood sign will eventually just be owned by a corporation and just
Amazon.
Be whatever the corporation is that owns it.
I have to say, just on an aside before we get into it,
Hollywood sign is just a QR code.
It should be. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You hold your tourists from all over can hold their camera up and then
it'll
they can
just turn into whatever who's ever sponsoring the Hollywood sign at the time.
And you can buy like a coffee mug or something.
Yeah.
I look up at the Hollywood sign at night. And I'm like, why? I know it's so expensive, the upkeep. And I'm like, why isn't it lit at night?
Too expensive.
But that's like jacked up.
Yeah, it's jacked.
It's kind of like, that's like, kind of like, really? Like, that's the whole, I'm sorry. I think, I know it's like maybe frivolous, but it's also like, Isn't that like what this is? Isn't that
I thought it used to be lit up.
It did, but they couldn't afford it anymore.
Yeah, they're like, we're cutting corners.
But isn't
but
that
also like Hollywood as an industry is changing so much? Like,
I know, but isn't that like the like that is the most quintessential landmark of Los Angeles?
Yeah, but I think as the entertainment industry shifts into like different gears, it's like no longer true. So you can start to let it go. And
it's kind of sad. Just like,
yeah, I mean, it's the end, but also a beginning.
I was going to say, yeah, I mean, why? Like, I'm surprised like Netflix or like
Prime Video.
Prime
or Hulu streaming.
HBO Max.
Fuck you, Hulu. Honestly, give me a goddamn fucking on demand with no ads, for the love of fucking God. Honestly,
I
literally want to kill myself every time an ad comes on. I have to talk myself out of going to a high point and swan diving the fuck off because these fucking ads that you cannot fast forward, and I pay $75 a month to get served ad after ad after
it's
ad.
It's a lot.
What the fuck?
I just want to watch Under the Banner of Heaven without worrying about when the next weird... And they're kind of like weird Instagram ads.
Yeah. There was like an ad for like a sand blanket that I was like...
They got you.
I said, maybe I'll check this out, but then I refuse to play into their ad game. But I do actually have to play in because I cannot... The only way out is death from those
truly
ads. So if I die, you'll know that it's because of Hulu, and we will sue.
Speaking of suing, I don't know. That was just my...
No, that was good.
I'm Carrie.
I'm Lara.
And you're listening to Sexy, Unique Podcast. Beverly Hells Angels. Episode of season
12.
12. Yeah.
Wait, did they play their taglines last episode? Or did they?
No.
Yeah, so they did this time.
Yeah.
And Rinna's, I think, is my favorite. Hi, I'm Karma. And yes, I am a bitch. Just, who are you coming from?
I know. Is that to us? Or who are you talking to?
I think it's to everyone.
I love it.
Because Rinna will snatch your fucking wig.
Rinna was off her fucking rocker this episode, and
but
I loved it.
She's on her rocker as well. She somehow manages to be both off and on at the same time.
She was also deeply blackout at Harry Hamlin's Andaz hotel lobby takeover.
EJ Global and Rinna did like three capfuls of GHB apiece and were fucking swirling their faces off. EJ like is candy flipping it.
Yeah, EJ was on one, and I loved it.
I loved it too, but we'll get to her.
So we're living in a post-Kemsley home invasion America.
2 days after the break-in.
The Kemsleys have hired a mountain of a man to be their security guard.
I love that.
And honestly, I'd love him.
I would love a bodyguard, TBH.
PK goes, we have the full weight to the LAPD. They told me that we have the full weight to the LAPD behind us. I was like, great.
Amazing.
They're really helpful.
Yeah.
And Dorit goes, yes, they're so kind. Dorit is speaking in like, I think, to make sure the children don't hear. She's speaking.
PK, close the door.
She goes, PK.
Close the door.
The kids.
The children.
Hold the jaws.
She goes, it's amazing that you know, we've hired these security guards. They're like downstairs and the children don't, they don't say a word. They just, they get with the program.
Isn't it amazing how well, how fast they adjust? And he goes, I think they get it from you because you're the big, you're the best compartmentalizer I know. And he says it like a compliment.
Tells her she's a decompartmentalizer, which wouldn't that be the opposite?
Yeah, I think he's just dumb.
He's a little bit.
And Dree goes, you know, my father was in the IDF. I was like, oh, shit.
My father was a paratrooper in the Israeli army. I was like, damn, bitch.
I wrote this emoji when I...
No, and her father might have taught her a lot of things, but Dorit's true teachers are bees.
The bees.
Much like me.
Yeah.
Bees are her professors. They've taught her everything she knows.
I just wrote, I cannot. This is a performance. This moment right here of her being like,
when I was young, a bee broke into our home and was sort of swarming around and I swatted at the air, fearful, worried about how, if the bee would strike. And my father said, darling, if you just stay still and
don't
keep
flail.
Calm and don't flail and don't provoke, the bee will simply go away.
It will leave you alone. And he grabbed it by its little wings and placed it on the table. And you know what? I've never thought of bees the same way ever again. I was moved. I literally was like putting my beekeeper hat on. I was like ready to like fire up. Don't even tempt me with some bee videos because I will go straight down a YouTube K-hole of high definition bee shenanigans.
Her father is like a magical sniper from the Israeli army who speaks to bees.
Mm-hmm. Who's like taming bees.
But that's what they teach you in the Israeli army.
Probably.
They teach you how to communicate with bees so they can do your bidding.
I'm trying to always be incommunicado with bees, but it is hard not to flip the fuck out.
She goes,
so the bee stuck its little wing out, and my father shook its hand, and they made a deal that day that they would never come into our home again and scare me.
My favorite is, like, you know the videos of, like, the woman who made friends with the bee?
Yeah, it was sweet.
It was sweet, but, like, also, women be making friends with, like, random insects.
Also, yeah, that bee...
Only a woman would do that.
And also the bee... doesn't know who you are and does not care.
I mean, I think it does. Bees are so intelligent.
Bees are really cute.
They're very cute.
They have sort of
they're
puppy
adorable.
Face. Mm-hmm. They have like
they remind me of Tony.
Yeah, they're like very Tony Mango kind of like sweet little face.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also like,
but like I love that extreme feminine trait that you will literally make friends with a fruit fly.
It's literally Nathan for you.
It is.
I just wrote the whispers of Dorit.
Mm-hmm. This is, like, I believe that this happened to her. I'm not, like, a robbery truther.
No, of course.
But I also think that the flip side of this is so interesting because it does, as a cast member of this reality show, give you carte blanche to, like, really flex your acting muscles and, like, milk it for all it's worth.
No, I'm absolutely... It's clear that this, like, there's no doubt that this happened.
Mm-hmm. But I think people are like...
No, I know. Of course.
Yeah.
It's
there's conspiracy theories.
Social media. But, yeah, I think that it gives her, like, free reign this season to kind of be sort of protected by it. Like, she'll have a shield this season.
Yeah.
And
she
also,
can do no wrong.
And she can perform, which she's definitely doing, which yeah. I love.
Mm-hmm.
And
I love pious performance after trauma,
and it'll give her sort of license to like
act however,
call people out and be like, you know, life is so short after what I've been through and we're worrying about this right now, like to be that kind of, and everyone, you know what I mean,
she can do that. But then on the flip side of that, she can also act like fucking crazy to people and then blame it on, like, PTSD.
By the way, where the fuck is Kathy?
I think she's filming that Paris Hilton reality show for Peacock during this time is my, like, thought process. But I'm honestly, I think about her once every episode, but I don't miss her that much.
I don't either.
Because I know she'll be back and, like...
being kooky.
Yeah, she'll be back and being her kooky self. And then she'll
hopefully
eventually give us, like, a gay slur to the gods.
I don't think about her.
If the rumors are true. No, but I don't like miss. I'm like, oh, I wish Kathy was here, but then I just move on.
So we cut to Kyle and Rinna's lunch, and I was like, Kyle has her mask on, and I went, wow, this is the first time I've seen any of these women wearing a mask since this fucking thing began.
They were with them last season.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
Oh.
I love coming in frantic, going, I'm so over these masks. When do we not get to wear these masks anymore? And I was like,
Same.
Also, I started this like Pilates class in March when the mask mandate was still fully in effect. So you had to work out wearing a mask, which is
disgusting.
Like being waterboarded with your own sweat. And for the first like month and a half of working out there, we wore the mask during the class. And then the day came, was like the end of a class, and the teacher was like, oh, by the way, like tomorrow or tonight at midnight, the mask mandate for workout classes is lifted. So tomorrow, masks will be optional. And if you want to wear them, you can. But if you don't want to, you don't have to. And I go, woo! And I was the only person to like woo. And then I just looked around and I was like, ooh.
People are like,
no, it was a stern. No one was excited. And I was like, did I just like out myself in this class?
Rinna congratulates Kyle about Halloween Kills being the number one movie in the world. And she goes,
wow, it's amazing. Wow.
It's amazing.
Star now.
I can't say enough that she's the only reason to watch that horrible fucking movie.
And everyone knows it, which is why she's being asked to come back for the next one.
And not only is she in the next one, she's like the lead, the co-star with Jamie Lee Curtis. Thank God. It's about
Lindsay
Wallace.
Was one of the worst movies I've ever seen in my life.
But Kyle's scene was, I say this genuinely, like legitimately the scariest scene of the movie. When she's being chased in the woods. Like that was fucking tense.
Well, she was really good. She was just good. But Kyle is also, now that she's a Hollywood actress again, she's acting too.
Oh, yeah. She's been legitimized.
Like, by the end of this episode, I'm like, Kyle's like taking acting lessons and like stepping into herself as Kyle Richards.
She's going full Jessica Biel and like going full sitter.
Do you know Jessica Biel's like last name and then you say Biel? Okay, cool.
I just like saying
it. I was just
curious. Yeah. But she's stepping into like her sinner era, her candy era.
She's in her sinner era for sure.
Taking acting lessons and doing a good job.
No, she's great. Yeah. But I'm also like, someone's going to have to, now that the train is in motion and the wheels are turning, there's no stopping the Kyle acting.
Oh, no.
And I was like, maybe the way to like temper it is to give her like a Golden Globe. But then I realized, no, everything is now moving towards the eventuality of Kyle being like Norma Desmond.
I need Kyle to be in like a 2 to 3 season popular streaming show that's like where she's like one of the leads and like does a great job. I need that to happen.
Yeah.
Like a show
that
gets
like.
Would
she be able to be on Housewives and a show like that?
Yes. They'll make it work. I need her to be on a show that has like 80% Rotten Tomatoes and is like a good, solid show.
Honestly, I need Kyle to be on Yellowstone.
Oof. Wow.
She could be on 1932. The brand new Yellowstone spinoff. I love where these producers' heads are at.
Helen Mirren.
That's like prestige. Still got to watch 1883. I got to get on it before they start coming out with another year, before they come out in 1979.
Did you watch Hacks last week?
Mm-hmm.
When she goes, who's playing me on the show? And she goes, Helen Mirren. And she goes, fuck you! It's going to get picked up the series. Thank God Hacks is back.
I know. So my good. Queen Jean Smart.
God. Then we go over to Sutton at Lady M's Crepe Cake.
I've always been curious of what this fucking place is, but now I'm 1,000% I need to go.
I want to just literally stick my face in a crepe cake.
Maybe I need one for my birthday. That's what I'll get for my birthday.
It's coming up.
Yeah.
What day again?
The 30th.
Gemini!
I think a crepe cake is, the birthday cake.
We have to do something on tour for your B-Day.
I know. The pancake cake.
We'll go like out one night and like dance, like truly.
Mm-hmm.
We'll go to like the bars for your birthday.
We'll do something.
Yeah.
I feel like we're going to be in like random cities.
We'll do a belated thing in Philly.
Yeah.
I mean, it's your 21st birthday. You should be.
I know.
Rip roaring.
I'm like,
So Sutton goes, And she thought they were pancake cakes instead of crepe cakes. She was confused.
She's called them that.
She's with Crystal.
She goes, they're not pancakes, they're crepes. But I guess in America they say crepes, which I love.
She's a Parisian at heart.
Total Francophile at heart.
Crystal is kind of like a background character right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I'm waiting.
I think she'll get fired up about something.
She will.
She hasn't like identified an enemy yet who she can be mean to and who will cause her to go into a place of unwarranted clutch. So like once she establishes
clutch,
then she will go in. But she's right now, it's like Predator just scanning for clutch.
There's a new Predator prequel coming out set 300 years ago in America, and it's like indigenous,
like during 1770,
Christopher
Columbus,
during like the indigenous people of America, battling it out with Predator. There's an amazing teaser where these two people are in like a cornfield or like a wheat field, and you see the three lasers on one of their heads.
Hold up.
And it literally...
Can I just like watch that?
Yeah. It shook me to my fucking core. It's set... it's like Predator prequel. Predator.
It's called Predator prequel?
Well, like, I don't know what it's called.
Predator 2. No. Prey.
Prey.
Love.
I think it's like...
Wow.
Watch the trailer.
I'm just looking. Where is it? Here we go. Ooh, from the director of 10 Cloverfield Lane.
Such a good movie.
Run. Oh. Oh my God, I have chills. Hulu. God damn it. They've
Doesn't
got
it look
me
good?
Again. Wow, I'm into that. Wow. Pray.
My
that's
favorite
a really
thing about
good
that
idea.
Right?
Yeah, that's really smart.
And
fuck
that's
you,
a great
Hulu, though.
That's
fuck
a great
you.
Director too.
Yeah.
The best my favorite thing about the Predator but also like let's get with
He's
the times.
He's sexy. I'd fuck Predator.
Yeah, me too.
Doesn't he fuck people?
No, he doesn't.
Oh,
but
he just
doesn't
rips
kill
them in half at their vaginas, right?
Yeah, he does. No, he doesn't kill women.
Oh.
Or children.
Well, then why is he putting his lasers on that lady?
If she has a weapon. If you have a weapon.
What about non-binary?
I don't know if Predator is like up to date on like gender identity expansion, but. I think if you are a woman.
If you're a peering woman.
If you're a woman or a child. I think if it's. You have to have a weapon. So if you're defenseless, he doesn't kill you.
Oh, I love that.
He's like, he has rules. You have to be formidable.
I don't think I've ever watched a full Predator movie.
Oh,
I've just
great.
Admired his vibe.
The first one with Arnold is great. The second one with Danny Glover in LA is also ridiculous and great.
Which one is the one where he like literally ripped someone in half?
I think it's
like,
the second one.
Okay. I just remember seeing that and being like, whoa, because my brother loved the Predator movies.
Well, in the second one, he's loose in LA. And Danny Glover is like a detective, like tracking him down.
Okay. Genius. Love it.
Yeah. And it's like set in LA like 10 years in the future at that time. So it's like a little dystopian.
Cool.
But there's this part where he's about to kill a woman cop because she has a gun. And then he looks inside and she's pregnant. So he lets her go.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So
But he's bad.
Predator needs to take like a gender studies
he does.
Course. Predator should enroll at UCLA and just take a brief gender studies so he gets up to date on the like who, what, where, they, them nature of things.
Why
do you
have to be like that about?
I wouldn't want him to get canceled.
Predator should be open to battling with a woman. Why not?
True feminism is Predator kills women. Exclusively for a while, just to like even
the
playing field. Oh, we need
Predator's kind of gay.
Predator's
bi.
He is bi
or pan.
He's
bi energy.
He does. I could see like a threesome with Predator and another guy and me.
His outfits are like,
and he has dreads.
Yeah, he's hot.
He's hot.
He has He has like octopus mouth, but I bet he'd be good at like. Eating
going
ass.
Down on you. Yeah. I think Octopus Mouth would be fine to kiss if he knows what he's doing.
The alien and alien is gay.
Yeah, and too thin for me, honestly.
The alien and alien
I
is
wouldn't
like,
feel like the thin person in a sexual relationship.
The xenomorph is like a thin gay in Bushwick
mm-hmm.
who like has plants in his window.
It's like a Frankie Grande energy that I'm not clear on that does feel like a true enemy.
Frankie Grande got married and went to the Star Wars hotel, I think.
Memes of that wedding.
God bless.
Mazel tov.
Mazel.
Look, I only wish Frankie happiness.
I love Frankie.
Yeah. Like, he's we fun. Need, in order to just have equilibrium, we need some Frankies in the world.
And I love Ariana, like, always supporting him.
Mm-hmm. I love her upper bleph.
Mm-hmm.
That's just like changed her face forever, but we're just all going to accept that and move on.
Anyway.
How pissed is Jennifer Grey? Just P.S. that like all the girlies are just getting plastic surgery now and like looking different all the time.
She was ahead of her time. I need to read her book.
After I saw her on Dancing with the Stars, I was like, you're annoying.
Oh.
I watched that season like religiously. I watched Dancing with the Stars for a while and she was on it. And I was just like, this I'm is over you.
A fact about you that I didn't know.
Yeah, that I'm anti.
No, that you're a Dancing with the Stars head.
Because I was a ballroom dancer for 2 years.
I love it.
I was.
My truth is that I watched
Latin. I liked the Latin music.
My truth is that sometimes that I used to watch Ellen videos to comfort. Mm-hmm. And your truth is that you watched Dancing with the Stars.
My truth is that I fucking can do the cha-cha up and down the dance floor.
Crystal is eating cobbler and she goes, this cobbler is specifically a summer cobbler, a holiday cobbler.
Because of the peaches.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
Apparently Erica Jane hated the LA Times article about Crystal Sutton and Garcelle, according to Rinna, which I was like, of course she's jealous.
Well, she's mad that I think they talked about her to the LA Times.
Right, but I knew that article would trigger the women who've been on it for a few seasons.
Oh, yeah. But that, and also it was like the perfect way
to shit on
to shut them out and get the spotlight for themselves. But it really is like Summer House mm-hmm. with like the newbies versus the OGs. And I think that that's great.
Rinna says that Harry Hamlin texted Sutton about her Elton John gate comment and said, why are you doing this? And she didn't respond. And I was just like, imagine getting a cunty text from Harry Hamlin. That would be terrifying.
Or just like a confrontational text.
I would be sick.
Yeah, I would not. I'd feel really guilty.
Yeah.
And I bet love he didn't... why are you doing this too as a text message is a really powerful sentiment to put on someone else. And I plan on sending by the end of this month. I think I would love to just challenge everyone to send a text to one person that just says, why are you doing this?
I think on Heather's, we had a running joke that people on the show keep repeating, why are you doing this to me?
They love it. It's the perfect, it's like very victim-y, but also it's like pleading. It's like that person is such a terror and you just can't understand like why. It's a great text.
It like immobilizes someone.
Mm-hmm.
The person getting that is like, oh my God.
But true crazies won't even bat an eyelash at a why are you doing this. Why are you doing this to some people that are just completely unfazed by it. And well, that's how you know.
LA is chock full of that.
Yeah. Elton John is at the center of all drama and
living for it.
This episode was all about who is really close with Elton and who's not.
On Harry's birthday day, you get a shot of the Rinna house and you just hear Lisa go, Harry Hamlin!
She's getting her glam.
Harry teaches tantra.
He's so hot.
That puka shell, I'm like, what are you doing?
Okay, so I'll tell a little sexy secret. Last night, I was like, overcaffeinated, just like trying to like get tired, so I'm like, okay, I'll just like pull out my Goop vibrator and do the damn thing. And then it was like I was so caffeinated but also just like wired that I like couldn't visualize anything that was like turning me on enough to like finish until I visualized old Harry Hamlin.
Really?
Oh yeah, and the job was done.
Wow.
Yeah, I invoked.
You
Harry.
Jerked off to Harry Hamlin?
Yes.
Damn.
Mm-hmm.
Good
Got
for
a
you.
Little fantasy going, and then I was just like, came three times and laid in bed, kind of sweaty for much longer, and then finally fell asleep.
Harry
gets it done.
How many people across the world have done that to Harry Hamlin?
Probably a lot.
Yeah, he's beyond hot.
Do you know? Wherever you are and whoever you are, there's probably someone that's jerked off to you.
Yeah.
That's cool.
And Harry Hamlin?
There's like a million people.
He's I mean, looking at photos of him from when he was young, it's just like unbelievable.
He's fine. She says, Diana Jenkins is coming.
And Harry goes, is she rude?
That's a great question.
Yeah, like if you're on the show.
Mm-hmm. And apparently she just had a baby. She's 48 years old and she carried her baby at 47, which is iconique. I was like, this is now goals and I'm fully following.
Brigitte Nielsen vibes. Harry goes, is she rude? And Lisa goes, no, she's Bosnian. Diana is literally biblical. Good for her.
Like, I had, we'll get there.
I'm sorry, I'm going to say it again. I know they have a deal with Bravo, but I just truly cannot believe that they've basically rented out the Andaz West Hollywood lobby for Harry's shit-ass 70th birthday. I'm sorry.
Food looked shitty, too.
Everything looked shitty. I'm sorry. It all looked bad.
I feel like I saw someone eating a bowl of bolognese that also had shrimp in it. Yeah. And I was disgusted and taken right to a place of sir.
Couldn't you have done something else for his 70th?
Probably not, because COVID restrictions still like going down.
You're rich. You can do... COVID didn't apply. The theory, though,
of mine is that Rinna and Hamlin are like hard fucking workers, but they are not like rich, rich, rich. You know what I mean?
No, but I think that they have at least like 10 million.
Yeah, but even so, if you're a worker and a saver and a thrifty spender... And also for someone that's like, isn't obsessed with his birthday, you're not going to go out the fucking bank with like a whole thing. You're just going to get the like free birthday party and film it.
Well, a fact comes up that late in the scene that literally chilled me to my bone, but
EJ's getting ready. She's getting her glam.
Of course, Mikey's there.
And she goes, maybe if the conversation is boring, I'll just pull my turtleneck over my face. That's a good one, EJ.
Kyle and Mauricio and PK and Dorit are driving over together. And Kyle, of course, tattletales on Sutton for being...
Kyle Richards, classic shit fucking stirrer.
Youngest sibling tattletale.
It is total youngest sibling tattletale. She goes, well, did Sutton even text you? I was like, Kyle? She's starting right away.
And Dorit goes, she did.
And PK goes, oh, she never even came to the house.
She didn't come to the house, did she? And then Kyle goes, well, I really think it was just like so insensitive for her to post on Instagram Thirsty Thursday of her sipping a margarita and having fun. I'm like, Kyle, you know good and well that Sutton probably has someone running her Instagram for her.
Can I tell you how sad it is that I remember that story? Like vividly remember, like when I saw it.
Like you were like, Dorit's robbed. And then you saw that and you were like, no.
No, it wasn't even like. I just remember, like, this is how sad my life is. Thirsty Thursday? Like, it was, like, yesterday. I saw that and was like, oh, yeah. EJ Global has never been more excited about eating dinner at the Andaz. She walks in with her leather dress.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, Kyle also says, not only does she bring Thirsty Thursday into the mix, but she also says that Sutton was so, like, rude and flippant about the robbery. And she goes, between that and the post, didn't sit well with me.
Mauricio goes, wow.
He's on fire this episode.
So high. He's, like, needs to go to MA. He has a weed addiction.
He does. He only does monosyllabic.
Whoa, crazy.
So, what do you do?
Oh, him talking to Asher was like...
We'll get there as well.
EJ walks in and she goes, ah, look at this. Look at this. Look how hot you both look. She goes, I want to have a threesome with you both. And then it gets kind of awkward.
Yeah, I was just like, God, EJ. Ooh. Sutton walks in. And she goes, hi. And then she goes, hi to EJ. And EJ literally goes like this. And I was like, oh my God, you're crazy. She's lost her marbles, I think, from this whole thing.
Oh, for sure.
But I think it's good.
Garcelle is so funny. She just loves, I love how much she trolls.
I'm obsessed with how direct she is, too.
It's literally like, I hate.
We need it.
I hate to use this over, but it's a breath of fresh air. Like, it's true. Whenever she's just like no, this is what you should do right now.
Yeah.
Do it. I'm like, oh my God.
We need a director because sometimes, like, yeah, you just need someone to do that. And my only advice to her would be like, amp it up even more.
Sutton goes, she goes, did you talk to Rinna? And Sutton goes, yeah, I love Rinna. She goes, we both have small breasts.
She goes, and I was even thinking, I was like, when Sutton was standing there with everyone, I was like, oh, her little petite frame and her small little breasts. And then she goes, I feel so small breasted when I'm with this group. And I was like, we're on the same page.
And Garcelle goes, go over there with Rinna and small breasts with her.
Love it. EJ Global lets out a laugh to the gods when Dorit and Kyle walk in. She goes, hey, hey, when she hugs Kyle.
And then I just wrote, here comes Hollywood Tattletale herself.
Who?
Diana Jenkins.
Oh.
She comes strolling
in. She was a Hollywood Tattletale?
No, she was the madam in
The blind.
Yeah, the blind item.
Oh, okay. I thought I was no, like, Hollywood, when did
was,
she
that was the to? Name of the username.
Oh, yeah. She arrives, swans in with her fiance, Asher.
I just wrote.
I was like, what?
What's going on? What?
Rinna goes, you've never met anybody quite like Diana Jenkins. She apparently was the it girl of Europe. And then it shows all these photos. When I heard that Diana Jenkins was coming on and then that my attention was directed back to that blind item that claimed and alleged she was this Hollywood madam that like was befriended Hayden Panettiere and was like helping her, like helping young starlets like that, like whore themselves out.
Yeah.
I was like, she's fucking dark. This is so fucking dark. And then there was like someone tweeted a photo of her like and Jeffrey Epstein like smiling together. But I also think that if you're really rich, you probably smiled with Jeffrey Epstein once or twice your life.
Carol Radswell was like besties with Gillon. So like
so all that being said, my ultimate takeaway from this was that I'm obsessed with Diana Jenkins now. I actually don't give a shit if she ever did anything. She's fully fucking fabulous. And I was like, I think those were just like angry exes, like doing hit pieces against her, trying to deflect from like the real story. And I refuse to believe anything bad about her. And she's my favorite. And honestly, if she wanted to whore me out to a rich man, I would say 1000% do it.
Oh my God.
What?
I just say the key to getting pregnant at 48, marry a bisexual man.
Mm-hmm. They're full of sperm.
EJ Global has an immediate girl crush on Diana. She's like, I want to know. I didn't get to meet you earlier.
She goes, hey.
Hey.
Well, I think also EJ Global smells money and like wants. And what's also fascinating is like just on a layer of like socioeconomic status is like EJ Global was like so rich and but really wasn't.
The fact
that she does not know Diana Jenkins is telling of her own like status in the stratosphere of wealth.
She's heard of her, of course. They've all heard of Diana Jenkins.
Yeah, but like she's not, it's like she's never had a chance to like meet her, which I'm like, I guess you were never that rich or it was like a different kind of rich. But that yet Rinna has met her and knows her.
Well, Rinna knows her.
Everyone.
She's like the like.
She's a worker. She's a hustler and a networker.
She's like the person in the king and queen's court who's like not that rich, but is like buddying up with all the.
And then Crystal knows her, which makes sense because I think Crystal is like incredibly rich, but also like not showy about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, Diana's pretty showy. She's wearing $230,000. Cartier rings. Exactly.
Her pictured with NPK and his partner, though, I was darked out by that.
Yeah.
But then she won me over. And EJ and Diana could be a real duo.
Or they'll butt heads. Because EJ also was like glamored by Denise when she came in because she was like kind of famous and like an actual celeb. And EJ turned on her. So.
Yeah, I don't think that Diana would take EJ on.
No, but I'm just saying EJ is like the shiny new thing. She's always like has the stars in her eyes because she's a hustler in that way. Like she's glamored still by Hollywood, I think.
Yeah, but like in a way when it doesn't accept her, she gets mad. But like, why would it? You're a fraud.
Well,
Lisa goes, I am Mrs. Hamlin.
Rin is such a yes man. That's why she's like the fucking queen of Hollywood. When PK, like, she'll just agree with you and make you feel and look really good or make you look really bad and assassinate your character. But she does it with such ease. It's admirable.
She's wearing like a.
Those damn glasses.
No, but she's wearing that like ribbon collar.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, her head's going to fall off. It's like that thing.
She goes, she's talking to PK and he's talking about like how much the robbers stole, and somehow they didn't steal a lot of Dorit's jewelry. Like, they mostly stole handbags, and he was like, and my watches. But, and she goes, but you don't care about the watches, do you? You don't care about those. And he goes, no, I don't. My most expensive watch was what, 60K? And she goes, oh, that's nothing, actually. And I was like, God damn it, Rinna, you're fucking good.
Oh, she's good.
She's a fucking pro.
She's a true Hollywood pro.
Diana reveals that she was with Kim Kardashian in Paris when she was robbed.
Damn.
Diana's was like, around and said she didn't feel safe and put a chair on her door. She must have been staying in the same hotel or like Airbnb or something.
Listen, Diana's a survivor and she's been through shit, so she knows when shit's about to get bad. I think she has like a sense. When you survive a war, I think you have like...
Yeah, you're on to something.
Your radar is elevated. Rinna gives a really bad flop speech about Harry.
I'm obsessed with her speech.
My mom called me this morning. She goes... I mean, you're married for 30 years. She goes, couldn't she have given a little more gravitas in her speech?
What'd she say?
She was like, you're so hot. You're like sliced bread.
She is to Harry Hamlin, 70. Ah, God, I just love ya. It was like, that was it. I remember being like, whoa, that was it. And even he was like,
My mom goes, Harry Hamlin went to Yale.
He did?
Yeah.
He's an educated gentleman.
He went to the Yale Drama School, I think, where like Meryl went and Laura Linney.
Cool. This is when Maurizio and Asher are just like sitting by themselves in a booth. And Maurizio goes, what do you do?
He goes, oh, you sing?
What do you do?
Oh, that's good.
Asher goes, music, kind of. And I was like, oh, my God.
He was on Broadway.
Oh, he was?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But not really anymore.
Yeah. He's just like a sugar baby, I think.
Mm-hmm.
The men are gonna go jerk off in the booth together.
Yeah, the men all, they're doing, I think, the thing that they try and do on Jersey where they get the men, like, because the men now on Ron J have their own little thing going on, and I think that producers are trying to make that happen, but these men are a little more stilted. Maurizio is too stoned to do a single thing.
He can only handle PK.
Yeah, PK is a ham though. He could serve.
But like,
I want Rob. Like, what if Rob is like secretly just like the goofiest wild guy?
I'm unclear on him.
I'm really unclear, but I would love it if he could be a sleeper hit.
But like, they're literally this is like such a straight, like, they're literally talking about like the history of handshakes. I'm like, this is what guys.
This is like old men that watch the History Channel stoned vibes. They gotta get to know each other.
Basically, Rinna starts calling. Sutton's like, Rinna, I wanted to apologize to you about speaking a little too much on Watch What Happens Live the other night. And then Rinna goes, well, you know, I just think you should be honest that you didn't have a table at Elton John like you said you did. So she basically calls Sutton out and says that she lied about having a table.
Diana is like, when Sutton's talking, she goes, I love her accent.
She's like,
she's incredible.
She's so rich that she like looks down at these people like they're like, she's like on tour or like on like Is a Small World.
She's like observing that. She's like, yeah. Oh, that is so interesting and cute. But I'm also just like, I get why the gays are obsessed with her.
Oh, she's a gay queen.
Mm-hmm. So Rinna claims that Sutton actually canceled her table, and then Rinna and Harry Hamlin had to do an interview with IMDb Pro.
To get it.
But that's the fucking hustler's way. And has Rinna written a book?
No, she basically went and she said Sutton canceled a table, and then she signed up to do a half hour long interview with her and Harry Hamlin and IMDb, and they were like, all right, we'll give you seats at our table. So yeah. She just like, once again, just teaches us how to do it. You just whore yourself out.
Yeah, you do whatever it takes to like get what you want. Like, it's like all quid pro quo with Rinna. But that's smart. Renovation. Getting your best life ever.
Hmm. You get it?
Do I need that? That's all she's written. Harry Hamlin, Sex, Lies, and Obsession.
Is that him?
What's this? Oh, it's a video.
Oh.
Starring Lisa Rinna and Harry Hamlin. A happy married mother's perfect life is shattered when she discovers her husband is a sex addict. We need to watch this. I'm bookmarking this video.
It's like Eyes Wide Shut level.
It's Harry Hamlin and Lisa Rinna starring. She's the wife and he's the sex addict husband.
Wow.
I am watching this. But renovation is like, I guess her tips on, I'm buying it. Done. Kindle bought. So then Sutton
pulls out her receipts.
Garcelle goes, well, you brought the receipts. Did you bring the receipts? And then Sutton goes,
I did.
She goes Grinch mode.
She does.
She went full Grinch smile mode and goes into a little clutch.
This is also the pro of Garcelle. Like, you're right. She is the director. She's mm-hmm. the plant. She's like making sure everyone's doing their thing. I love it.
It's good. It's necessary. And then Sutton goes to bring him out and Diana goes, this is classless, classless.
And Rinna goes, I know, this is so tacky. And then Kyle in her confessional,
some good physical comedy.
She goes, she makes fun of Rinna and like pretend. She's like, oh, Rinna's like, all of a sudden, Rinna, like the queen of receipts, is like suddenly being like, oh, that's tacky. Yeah, because Diana said it.
So Sutton passes around her emails, which prove that she paid for seats to the function. But it doesn't solve the problem that Rinna says that she like canceled them, or like the point is still made that like she could have paid for them, but then decided not to go. And so there's just like no one's being clear. And my gut instinct says that Sutton is lying.
Yeah, me too. But I love all everyone's telling her to bring it up, bring out the receipts. You just hear EJ go, if you got it, you got it.
EJ's on DMT in the corner. Yeah. And Sutton goes, well, I know what class is, and I also know what slander is. And Brenna goes, oh, what? Are you going to sue me? Are you going to sue me?
And then they apologize.
Sutton, show it from Garcelle.
And they apologize, and then they hug each other. And
but my, no. This was like a second later. This was like later. So Diana, then they reveal that Diana underwrites this whole charity because actually she's BFF with Elton John. And like she looks at the emails and she's like, well, it seems like she did pay for it. And my heart was beating out of my chest in this moment. I was like stressed on everyone's behalf.
Can you imagine? Diana's like quietly, she's like, yes, this charity means a lot to me. I'm very close with Elton and his husband, David. I'm like, damn.
So I've been into it for years and I love it. And I was like,
I know.
Then Sutton apologizes and EJ goes, where's my apology?
Well, first Sutton goes, she goes, I adore you. And then Garcelle goes, she goes, oh, come on, Sutton.
She goes, you do not.
You do not adore Rinna.
Well, this was after the EJ.
Oh, shit. Sorry.
Honey, keep up.
I'm sorry.
I'm joking. But EJ goes,
where's my apology?
Where's my apology? Sutton goes, you're not getting one because I don't like you. She goes, oh, so it's a mutual thing. And Sutton like puts out her hand, like they'll shake on it, both hating each other. And EJ goes, never, go fuck yourself.
And Sutton goes, you go fuck yourself.
Yeah, fuck yourself. And EJ goes, shut up.
Sutton goes, you shut up. And I'm like,
that's this, like, this is a sibling fight.
Yeah.
Where's my apology?
You're not getting one because I don't like you.
They love each other.
They will be besties by the end of this season. This was incredible, like, back and forth. They're like the Laurel and Hardy of the group.
Go fuck yourself.
You go fuck yourself.
And then Sutton goes over to Rinna, and Rinna has blackout. She has, like, completely, like, glassy eyes. And you know when Rinna's blackout, she goes, ow! Okay!
Because she doesn't eat anything and drinks, like, two vodka, like, sodas and just gone.
Yeah. I adore you. Garcelle, she goes, you don't adore her.
You do not. She goes, I do. Oh, my God. I do, though. I was like, I'm obsessed with this moment.
And at one point, Garcelle threatened to leave because she was so uncomfortable, mm-hmm. which I'm just like, and then she's like, all right, I'll stay. I just love it. I love it.
But I don't like threatening to leave. I think that you shouldn't be allowed to do that because yeah. it's just like such a, I'm like, I'm really glad that she stayed yeah. and just like figured it the fuck out because I think leaving just sucks on reality television. You just shouldn't be allowed to leave.
Well, she leaves. She threatens to leave and Kyle's like, come sit. And then I actually love Garcelle and Kyle's friendship because they just like make fun of everyone. Together.
Yeah, and like Kyle would be a really fun person to be at these events with because she's always making a face.
Yeah.
She's clocking every single thing that happens, keeping like a record of it in her brain
again,
and then making faces.
Youngest sibling.
Yeah.
Youngest siblings, we clock everything. We take notes and we keep it in our little sacks mm-hmm. for later.
And Sutton's like, oh, don't leave. I'll just figure it out. We can just squash it. Like, let's move on. And then EJ's laughing. Garcelle goes, you're too much. And EJ goes, I know.
I know these things.
I'm obsessed. She's lost her marbles.
She's just strutting down Doheny later in the night going,
You might
take me to the Viper Room.
Shiver me timbers. You might hear the little click clack of some heels and like cackling laughter, and it's literally EJ Global
with a giant, the biggest moon you've ever seen behind her.
It's a blood moon when she takes to the streets.
Take me to the take me to Saddle Ramp.
I know.
Shiver me timbers.
We go to Diana Jenkins' house
in Hidden Hills, where the Kardashians live. They must be frowns.
Yeah, I think they are frowns.
Neighbors.
Yeah, her son Innes is so hot,
fucking hot. He also scares me. He's like a. I looked him up. He's an NFT bro, which I'm like.
Let's think of a thing or two we could sell him. Diana and her dog Pearl is literally me and Tony.
It is you. So she has two children from her first marriage. Her first husband was a Barclays, British, like one of the top investment bankers in the world. So like probably a billionaire.
Okay, though, there's a little bit of a hole in the story here.
What?
So
what?
She is a refugee. She came to London. Her dad helped her escape during the Bosnian conflict. And then she
had to go alone.
Yeah. She left home, ended up in London at 19 years old. She was like, it was the worst 10 years of my life. Like, she was scrubbing floors and like just not a glamorous life, like very poor. And then somehow from there to then marrying the top, but like finance guy, I'm like, okay, so what was going on?
Well,
how did they meet?
This lends itself to that like clandestine, like where are you? They met at the gym.
Okay.
So maybe she was like she was kind of like Sonya Morganing
her. Did they meet at the gym?
I don't know. This is when it comes out. Like,
this is a little bit like Melania Donald vibes.
Yeah.
Where you're like, how did this union come about? Would love to know more, but also like love this for you because you really did that, girl.
So she has a 22-year-old son and a 19-year-old daughter who's like an Olympic horse rider.
And a little Pomeranian named Pearl who does not like London. Pearl has her preferred cities, and London is not one of them.
She has six homes. One place she goes, Havar.
She has one in L.A., Sarajevo, and Hoar. I was like...
It sounds like she's naming Star Wars planets.
Mm-hmm.
But she has an adorable little daughter who's... So she... And it's crazy.
And she had a baby. I was like, this is exactly what I want to do.
I mean, it's pretty crazy. She literally looks incredible. I mean, her and like Janet Jackson both had babies at like 48.
Okay, this is also the future. I've said this before, but like women giving birth like later, like extreme geriatric pregnancy vibes is like where I'm at with things.
Do it.
Diana was a tomboy and her flashback pic, I was like, you were literally a boy.
Her son says, like, weren't you, like, on the streets of, like, Sarajevo, like, beating boys up? And she was like, yes.
She was beating the shit out of bullies.
Hell yeah.
She took to the streets and fucking Drita'd them.
She did. She was a vigilante.
Mm-hmm. Everything about her is like, I'm like, give me more, bump her up to main cast. Like, I actually would just even prefer a show that veers off VPR style and just follows her in her life, because like, I need it all.
She says that she left her husband simply because she was bored and wanted something different. So he clearly didn't want the divorce. I think she did.
Yeah, but we also don't know like what's really true. And I guess she got to a $250 million settlement.
And probably gets more.
Yeah, I'm just like,
damn,
I need all the information I can get. And then she just like, she was like, and then I was single for about 5 minutes and met Asher. And then she's like a relationship gal.
She is. We head on over to Sutton's boutique, which I need to just talk about this for a minute. The vibe is dash. The art on the wall is, I'm very surprised how bad the decor is in Sutton's boutique. It's hideous.
I was thinking the same thing. I really didn't want to like say it, but no, I'll be it. Honest. I don't love like a black and white graphic wallpaper.
And that art on the wall of the guy in jeans. I'm like, what the fuck?
The sad thing is it's probably all extremely expensive.
Sutton has great taste usually, but I was just like,
I want to go to her store because maybe it feels different IRL and it's just like not photographing so well.
Well, strike me dead, Sutton Strack, if I'm speaking ill of your boutique, but I just think you need a better.
I can't do like a black and white. No. I don't like black and white vibes. It's gross.
It is.
The only black and white thing I like is like a checkered floor or something, or like a tile. You know what I mean?
I like just full black, like at the chateau.
Like black walls?
No, like black floor. Glossy black floor.
I like a dark, dark, dark wood floor. Like a dark brown.
Like in the lobby, like chill area of the Chateau Marmont, they have like that just black.
Tile?
No, like they just painted, like we did it in our apartment. We just painted the floor. It's like we were there and we were like, oh, we should do this.
Like paint?
Yeah, it's like glossy black paint on the floor. Just fully black.
I have thoughts about that.
All right. Well, it looks good.
Do you love it?
Yeah, it looks great in our apartment.
It doesn't get scratched. That's cool.
You've seen it.
I guess I just thought that it was brown.
No.
I'm going to look closer. It's been a while.
Black carpet, black floor. It looks good.
I love it. Yeah, I trust. My truth is I just don't like a black floor. That's just the thing. For me personally, I'm just not like a paint. I'm not like a painted floor kind of gal.
It works for us. And then we get the hue lighting. So we have like a sort of blushy hue. You have
it's like a mood.
Mm-hmm.
It's moods.
I see.
It's pure moods. I see you. I honor you. And I don't mean to be shady about a black floor. I support your black floor truth.
I trust Simon's vision.
I trust it too.
The artist.
He's an artist for a reason. Successful artist for a reason.
World renowned artist.
I just get like, when I really, Caroline Calloway, I have PTSD from her painting her hardwood floors because she painted them white. So that's immediately where
white is.
That's where my brain immediately goes. So
it's, if you came over, you'll see it.
Yeah, well, invite me.
All right.
How about that?
Well, I've been sick, bitch. Your face, you just went full Grinch.
Invite me over.
All right, I will.
Maybe I'll see it. Sutton goes, my friend Lexi is coming over. And these are all his clothes. He finally got cleared by immigration and like her immigration drama best friend who designs like couture is finally, it's like finally resolved itself.
He's from France. She goes, so I'm thinking of having like a theme party here, American in Paris. And Kyle goes, yeah, you love doing that theme.
I love that shit.
And she goes, I am such a Francophile, I guess. And then Kyle goes, what? And she goes, Francophile. And Kyle goes, what is that?
And I'm obsessed like, with like
love
Hollywood education levels.
Yeah.
That was like, it was
on set.
Very clear. Yeah.
In the trailer.
We reached like a fifth grade reading level and gave it up.
Love. She's such an LA girl through and through.
Kyle like confronts Sutton, says that Sutton was acting really weird.
I will say this felt genuine.
I was like,
Kyle felt like she was burning.
The call out is, the call out is genuine because she was acting weird. But the way that Kyle spins it and the choices she makes in the scene and where she takes it, I was like, no, Kyle, I've got your fucking number. I was like, you are acting, and that's why it feels real, is because she is a really good actress, and yeah, she's been taking lessons.
She's been taking lessons.
She's truly been taking lessons, and she fully gave it her all, and it was believable, but still acting.
She goes, when you came to our old house, I love that, has to be.
You came to the old house, and you just acted so, and this is our friend who had a so gun callous. To her head. And so callous. And then, like, Sutton makes a point that she's been robbed and her dad died of suicide. She's just not good with, like, gun drama and trauma, which, fair enough. Like, I get that. And also, if you're not that good of friends with someone, like, you just don't care as much.
I think Sutton just didn't have tact. Like, she didn't play the game. And I think Kyle was kind of like, why didn't she play the game?
Yeah.
And Sutton was
her scene partner wanted to take the scene one place and Sutton wasn't doing it.
She was like, I was working. And then Kyle goes, I don't know, you seem a little off. Which I'm like, what are you implying by that?
See, this is the smart. This Pills? Is like. I think she's saying she's like mental. It's like mental illness, implying like mental illness or like something's gravely wrong. But it's also such a smart move on Kyle's part because it's like Sutton is weird. That's part of the charm of her. And she's awkward and does kind of weird things. So if you just kind of vaguely point that out to an audience, it's going to make all the weird stuff they do seem weirder. And when you're that awkward, you can't like handle. So it's like, it's a damning, it's a trap that's being laid.
She goes, you seem a little off. And Sutton goes, Kyle.
Kyle. Kyle.
And Kyle goes, I don't know. You know, I believe in, I love Sutton, but I also subscribe to the belief that when someone shows you who they are, trust that and believe them.
Absolutely not. That's why I said, this bitch is not fucking invoking Maya Angelou. She's not dragging Maya Angelou into this mess. Yeah,
Maya has been through enough.
Leave
Maya alone.
I was like, I see right through this.
Leave her out of this.
Do not even go there, Miss Richards. And then I said, this is all an act. She's doing pretty good, but take another lesson. Yeah. Always go back to the studio.
Yeah.
No, when Kyle goes, I don't know, and now you're doubling down, which is even weirder. I'm just weirded. It's like that thing that you can do. I've done this to people, and I've also had it done to me, where it's just like, you're just like weirding me out. Like you're just, and it's so.
It's like when Kelly Bensimon said, you're creepy. It's just creepy.
Yeah. But she's so erratic that it's like, she doesn't play it well because she's actually like gravely mentally ill. So like.
Kyle's smooth.
And she's taking those classes. I'm obsessed. When a white woman gets on her high horse and goes, I just think when someone shows you who they are, you have to believe that. I'm like, girl,
and,
no.
And you know, like Maya, wherever she is like, shut the fuck up.
Her eyes are rolling. She goes, God damn it. And God goes, I
didn't
know.
Intend this for you.
Get the fuck out of here.
Get the fuck out of here.
It was she welcomed Maya to the stage.
She did. It was a good app, all in
all.
It was
a good app. I'm in. Diana Jenkins, give me, I want a main line.
Yeah. I want to chase the dragon.
Mm-hmm.
But Diana Jenkins.
High, I'm riding high.
Guys, tour tickets are still on sale.
Things are happening in tour land. People are buying tickets. Philly continues to be on its way to selling out. Denver, I know a handful of people who are coming now. Some people are even traveling from Nebraska.
Hell yeah.
So we have travelers in the mix.
It's in 2 weeks?
It's in
3 weeks.
2 weeks, I think. It's on June 2nd.
Yeah, 2 weeks. Damn.
Minneapolis, Minnesota, the Cedar Cultural Center on June 4th. Detroit, at the Majestic Theater, June 5th. And then finally in the City of Brotherly Love, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, June 7th at City Winery. We will be
come see bringing me in my
it
home
the fuck
to...
home in Philly.
Yeah.
Guys, get tickets now. All the links are in the description of the pod. So get on it, doll.
Get on it, doll.
Love and light.
Bye.
Bye. Sexy Unique Podcast is created and hosted by me, Lara Marie Shane Halls. This episode was co-hosted by the one and only Carrie O'Donnell. This episode was edited by Ness Smith-Savadoff. If you like what you heard today, please be sure to subscribe to Sexy Unique Podcast on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you're craving more sup and just can't get enough and want access to things like bonus episodes, tons of premium content, as well as ad-free episodes of the pod, consider supporting the podcast on Patreon. You can find out more at patreon.com/sexyuniquepodcast.